Chapter 2. The Hispaniola. When we arrived at Dr. Livesey's house, Mr. Darnce told me to jump off the horse and knock on the door. I did as I was told, and a maid came out. She told us that the doctor was visiting his friend Squire Trelawney. We rode on to the hall where Squire Trelawney lived. Another maid took me and Mr. Darnce to the Squire's library. Here we found Squire Trelawney and Dr. Livesey sitting by the fire. The doctor was smoking a pipe. He was a small man with a white wig and sharp, bright eyes. Squire Trelawney was tall and red-faced with thick black eyebrows.
"Good evening, Darnce," the squire said warmly. "And good evening to you, young Jim. What can we do for you?"
Mr. Darnce told the two men how Blind Pew and the pirates had broken into the Admiral Benbow and searched the place from top to bottom. When he came to the part about the little packet, Dr. Livesey became very interested.
"Have you brought it with you, Jim?" he asked.
"Here it is, sir," I replied, and held it out to him. Dr. Livesey looked at it and put it on the table.
"Now I must go," explained Mr. Darnce. "I still have work to do."
After Mr. Darnce left the room, Squire Trelawney said,
"Stay for a while and have some cold pie."
I was very hungry, so I had a large piece of pie. Squire Trelawney and Dr. Livesey talked while I ate it. I listened to them with interest.
"Trelawney, have you heard of Captain Flint?" asked Dr. Livesey.
"I certainly have," cried the squire. "He was the cruelest pirate in the world."
"Well, I have heard that Captain Flint robbed some ships. He stole their treasure and buried it," explained Dr. Livesey. "No one knows where, but I have heard that Billy Bones was with Captain Flint when he buried the treasure. He may have helped him, too. I also heard that Blind Pew and his men were looking for something in Billy's room this evening. Now, if Jim will allow us, we will open the packet and see what more it can tell us. Perhaps it will show us where to find this treasure."
The doctor looked thoughtfully at the little packet on the table. "Yes, open the packet," I agreed. I was very excited. Dr. Livesey took out a pair of scissors. Carefully, he cut open the packet. Inside, he found a book and a map. He opened the book and read a few pages.
"What does it say?" asked the squire.
"It tells me the names of the ships that Captain Flint robbed and sank," he explained. "It also tells me how much money Captain Flint paid Billy Bones to help him bury the treasure and to look after this map."
Dr. Livesey unfolded the map and we all looked at it. It showed a small island that was about 15 kilometres long and 8 kilometres across. There were some notes about how to find the island and where a ship could anchor. In the southwest part of the island, someone had marked a star in red ink. Underneath the star was a note saying, "Treasure buried here."
"Let's go to Bristol and hire a ship," cried the squire. "Let's go and find the treasure. We can have a ship ready in 3 weeks. I will be the admiral, Livesey, you will be ship's doctor, and Jim, you will be the cabin boy. All we need is a captain and crew."
"I will agree to do it," said Dr. Livesey. "But I'm afraid of one man."
"Who?"
asked Squire Trelawney.
"You, Trelawney," he replied. "You talk too much. This is a secret we have to keep. There are plenty of wicked pirates out there who want that treasure and would be willing to do anything to get it. If any of them find out what we have, they will happily kill us all. We must talk to no one about this. Take two of your best men and go to Bristol, Trelawney. Find us a ship and a crew. Jim and I will join you as soon as we can."
Before we could set off on our adventure, Dr. Livesey went to London on business. I stayed at the hall. Redruth, the squire's servant, looked after me. I told no one about the map, but I felt very excited. I often explored the island in my mind. I imagined the men and the wild animals we might have to fight. One day, a letter came for Dr. Livesey. It was from the old Anchor Guest House in Bristol. On the front it said, "To be opened by Jim Hawkins if Dr. Livesey is away." This is what I read. Old Anchor, Bristol, 1st of March, 1788. Dear Livesey, the ship is ready. She is called the Hispaniola, and the workmen have prepared her well. It was difficult to find a good, honest crew. So many Bristol men are pirates. Then, quite by chance, I met a man on the dock called Long John Silver. He knows all the sailors in Bristol. It didn't take him long to find the rest of our crew. Soon we will be hunting treasure. Join me as soon as you can. Tell young Jim to spend a night at the Admiral Benbow to say goodbye to his mother, but Redruth, my servant, must go with him. Yours, John Trelawney. I was pleased with the letter, but I had one worry. What if Long John Silver was the one-legged pirate that Billy Bones was so afraid of? When I arrived at the Admiral Benbow, it felt strange. Since I'd last been there, quite a few things had changed. It did not look like the home I'd left in such a hurry. Squire Trelawney had repaired the broken furniture and had even added some new pieces. He had paid for the guest house to be repainted, too. My mother was well. She was happy to see me and very happy with the repairs the squire had made to our home. She showed me the repaired furniture first and then the new furniture. "What a kind man Squire Trelawney is," she said to me. After dinner the next day, I said goodbye to my mother. Then Redruth and I left my old home and set off for Bristol. One of my last thoughts was of Billy Bones, walking along the cliff top with his brass telescope. We travelled all night. When our carriage arrived at Bristol, we walked through the docks to the guest house where Squire Trelawney was staying. I was delighted with all the tall ships and the sailors who sang as they mended sails or climbed the ropes. Soon I would be off to sea myself, to search for buried treasure. Squire Trelawney met us with a wide smile.
"Dr. Livesey arrived last night," he said. "So everyone is here."
"When do we sail, sir?" I asked him.
"Tomorrow," he replied.
In the morning, Squire Trelawney gave me a note addressed to Long John Silver at the Spyglass Guest House.
"You'll find it quite easily," he told me. "Walk through the docks until you see a guest house sign with a telescope painted on it."
Long John Silver was a tall, strong man with a smiling face. Although he only had one leg, he moved easily with the help of a crutch. I stopped worrying. This friendly man could not possibly be a pirate. I walked up to him and gave him the note. "Mrs. Silver, sir?" I asked.
"Yes, my lad. And who are you?" he asked.
He took the note and read it.
"Ah, you are our cabin boy."
He shook my hand. Next, I went to meet Squire Trelawney and Dr. Livesey. They were going to inspect the Hispaniola. We found the Hispaniola in the docks and eagerly climbed on board. A sailor met us and turned to Squire Trelawney.
"The captain wants to speak to you, sir," he said. "Take us to him," the squire replied.
Captain Smollett was a cross-looking man who did not appear to be pleased to meet us. He shook our hands quickly with little warmth.
"Are we ready to go to sea?"
asked the squire.
"I don't like the crew," the captain replied.
At this answer, Dr. Livesey was rather surprised. He looked first at Squire Trelawney, then at me, and finally at the captain.
"Captain Smollett, tell us why you don't like the men," he said.
"They think they know more than I do about sailing a ship. They're putting everything in the wrong place. And they talk too much. Even Long John Silver's parrot knows that we're going to hunt for treasure," he replied.
"His parrot?" asked Dr. Livesey.
"He has a large green parrot that sits on his shoulder," explained the captain.
"I see," said Dr. Livesey. "Now, what do you want to do about it?"
"I want to choose my own crew," replied the captain. "These men talk too much. I've heard them whispering."
"I'll tell you a secret, shall I? You have a map of an island. There is a red star on it to show you where the treasure lies. And there are instructions telling you how to find the island. All the men know about it."
"But I told no one,"
cried Squire Trelawney.
"We must take care," continued Captain Smollett. "No one must see the map. Let's lock our guns and gunpowder safely away from the men."
"Don't you trust them?" asked Dr. Livesey.
"No, I don't," he answered. "If you want me to be your captain, you must take my advice."
"Very well," agreed Dr. Livesey. "No one will see the map, and we will lock up the guns."
Captain Smollett left the room and went onto the deck to collect the guns. We followed him. As we were moving the guns and the gunpowder, Long John Silver climbed up the side of the ship.
"What are you doing?" he asked. "We're moving the guns," answered Captain Smollett.
"But we'll miss the tide," complained Silver. "That's not your business, Silver. You are only the cook. Now go and make dinner for the men," ordered the captain.
Silver disappeared into the galley.